KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 8:02. Last night, the Nome Joint Utility Board approved a resolution to take over operation of the Banner Wind Farm. Utility Manager John Handeland explained the two new wind turbines put up on Banner Hill were originally intended to be operated independently. But when looking at logistics and efficiency of operations, NJUS, Sitnasauk, and the Bering Straits Native Corporation saw a need to have all wind turbines under one operator.
Both parties agreed that that would benefit the community and the members in the long run. And so the arrangement then was made where NJUS will take over entire operation of that farm in the future.
The future, according to the approved resolution, is January 1st, 2015, when NJUS will operate both the new wind turbines and the Banner Wind Farm collectively. With the board's okay last night, the resolution now awaits approval from the Nome City Council. Bethel Fire authorities are investigating the explosion of a gasoline tank that injured three people, at least one of them critically. The injured are 38-year-old Julianne Garcia, 19-year-old Brandon Billy, and Garcia's 13-year-old son. The three were filling a portable gas tank in their boat when the explosion occurred at a gas station Sunday afternoon. Garcia and Billy are being treated at Seattle's Harborview Medical Center, where Billy was listed in critical condition Tuesday. Harborview spokesperson Susan Gregg says Garcia is listed in satisfactory condition. Garcia's son, whose name was not released, was being treated in Anchorage. Fire officials say North Star employees quickly responded by turning off the fuel pump, extinguishing the fire, and calling 911. The Obama administration opposes Senator Lisa Murkowski's latest revenue-sharing bill. As APRN's Peter Granitz reports, the administration says it costs too much money. Murkowski's so-called FAIR Act would grant at least 27% of Outer Continental Shelf royalties to coastal states. If states establish conservation funds, the allocation would jump 10%. So it's no wonder many coastal leaders like North Slope Borough Mayor Charlotte Brower support the plan. She says the revenues would go to major infrastructure improvements.
I'm already being asked by the Korean government to come off my port. What port? I don't have a port in North Slope. I don't have a port in Barrow, Alaska.
Brower is in Washington, where she testified before the Senate Energy Committee about the revenue-sharing bill. The bill would share profits with states for renewable offshore energy, too, not just oil and gas. Its supporters say it levels the playing field between interior states that share energy revenues and coastal states that don't get offshore royalties. The administration says it would cost the federal coffers $6 billion. Pamela Hayes, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Budget at the Department of Interior, says that increases the deficit too much.
Because these federal lands and resources belong to the public, our goal is to ensure environmentally responsible development with a fair return to the American people, tribes, and individual Indians for the use of the resources.
Fair returns to the American people. The federal government does not see the OCS revenue sharing as just that. Murkowski and the bill's co-sponsor, Louisiana Democratic Senator Mary Landry, say the money spent up front is worth a potential windfall. They say that money would go to fund local governments as well as the Land and Water Conservation Fund. Murkowski calls concerns over the bill's costs short-sighted.
If we're talking about just trying to find an offset, we're going to work to find that offset.
An offset is Washington speak for cuts elsewhere in the budget. If this costs the federal government $6 billion in lost money, there needs to be a cut of $6 billion elsewhere. With that offset, it will be hard to move. At this point, it's unclear whether it can pass the committee, let alone the full Senate. The Bureau of Land Management is putting together a new resource management plan for lands in the Bering Sea Western Interior Planning Area. The 10.6 million acre area encompasses communities such as Unalakleet, St. Michael, Hooper Bay, and St. Lawrence Island. These lands are currently managed by the BLM under plans from 1981 and 1986, but Georgina Daly, a land use planner with the BLM Anchorage Field Office, says the plans are outdated.
It's important for us to replace this plan with a land use plan that can address what we're more currently dealing with these days.
Daly says these days there is increased demand for local energy, pressure for mineral development, and a greater acknowledgement of climate change. With these interests, subsistence needs, areas of critical environment concern, and fishing and wildlife habitat could be affected. That's why the BLM wants to hear from local communities on how specific resources should be managed.
A lot of what we'll be doing in the land use plan is looking at the current status of those resources, and we'll be most interested in getting more local knowledge on those resources.
Daly says local knowledge will help establish a plan that will assist future generations.
The decisions that we would make in the land use plan would be how to best manage the lands and the resources without reducing the available subsistence resources for the locals or restricting their access in any way. So it'll be really important for us to understand how locals access those resources so that future decisions we make on those lands will have a decreased impact upon their access.
The public scoping process began last week and is open until December 16th. BLM plans to hold meetings to get input in various communities this fall. The price of gold in New York is down $20.20 an ounce to $1,328.50. An ounce of silver down 32 cents to $20.27. It's unofficially 48 degrees at the KNOM studios, 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.